You're listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. The push to end homelessness has been a high priority for leaders in the Valley, including elected officials like Mayor Stanton, who is outspoken in wanting the city to be a leader in finding houses for homeless veterans. Last summer, two emergency shelters next to the Human Services campus were shut down amid concerns they were dangerous and inhumane. Subsequent to that, about 500 men and women who once slept on thin mats have homes of their own. To talk about some of the progress and how it's come about, I'm joined by Bruce Liggett, director of the Maricopa County Human Services Department, and Amy Schwabenländer, who leads the Valley of the Sun United Way's efforts to end homelessness as vice president of community impact. Welcome to you both. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So, Amy, let's talk about housing first. How is it defined, and how is it different from what's been done before?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Housing first is really a service philosophy that says if we're working with people who have been experiencing homelessness, we want to address their housing stabilization first. And after people have a safe, affordable place to go to sleep every night, then they can address other issues in their life that would help them stabilize economically, further their education, whatever those other things are that people want to do on their own. So it's really a service philosophy of harm reduction, and it's reliant on case managers who do those support services to help people move through those different paths to stability. It's different from the past where the traditional way people ended their homelessness through emergency shelter, moving to transitional shelter, supposedly graduate a program with all their independent living skills, they're good to go. Well, you know, in 2010, we were at a point 8,000 people were experiencing homelessness in Maricopa County every single night. So something about that system didn't work for everyone.
Well, I wonder, was a housing first sort of model something that maybe someone had thought of but thought it's either not practical, it doesn't make any sense, or is this really a progressive idea?
Well, it started in New York City, actually. There's a Pathways to Housing program that led a national effort. It's now an evidence-based best practice through SAMHSA. It can get really technical. Again, in simplest terms, it's a service philosophy of harm reduction and addressing people's housing situation and then helping them move through all those other aspects of their life.
I think people think about the humanity of this and making sure that people are in shelter and they're finding places to live, but also there is that fiscally responsible model, which comes up even more. Is this fiscally responsible?
Exactly, yes. It costs. Morrison Institute did a study several years ago, so think that inflation has happened since 2011. At that time, it was about $40,000 a year to keep someone homeless. That's at the low end. So there's other local studies that show it can cost $500,000 when people cycle through emergency rooms, jail for minor offenses, plus all the shelter-related costs. To house someone can be $10,000 to $12,000. Some of that's one time. If we talk about rapid rehousing, that's a one-time intervention, and we've ended someone's homelessness instead of costing the public systems recurring annual costs.
Bruce, tell us about the impact of the closing of the men's overflow shelter and how that led to even more partnerships and why it was important to try these new steps.
Well, it was many summers ago, 7-8 years ago. There was excessive heat that summer and people were dying on the streets and many homeless people died. And as a result, the local shelter, CAS, began to use a building that the county owned for temporary shelter. It was temporary. A few years later, at the request of the Phoenix Police, they began to use an adjacent parking lot and allow people to stay there at night. There were really no rules in the parking lot and really no services being delivered. We learned later that the building was unsafe. Nobody thought the conditions in the parking lot were acceptable. And so we began to come together as funders, really under United Way's leadership.
And so public-private partnership, we hear that term a lot. How vital is it in this case?
It's critical because no one entity has all the resources to address shelter or housing. We want to look at the whole picture, that whole system, and so we certainly need each other. And with city, county, state, and United Way representation, we're really looking at the bulk of resources that go into our local shelters, and we can really drive and influence change with provider input, which is also very critical.
Bruce, as I mentioned in the introduction, there are elected officials who have been really passionate about this topic, certainly of late. As someone who knows government as well as you do, does it feel like cities, counties, state level are buying into this?
Well, I think they're absolutely bought into housing first as a model. But, you know, there's so many dimensions to homelessness. So buying into what? Certainly there's broad support for helping veterans who are homeless and increasing support for addressing people who are chronically homeless, those who tend to be the highest users of public services. Vulnerable people, people with disabilities, absolutely. But some of the episodic homelessness, you know, nobody is making the policy statement that every person will have a place every night. There's not the resources to support that. So we're targeting what we do.
It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix with Bruce Liggett, director of the Maricopa County Human Services Department, and Abby Schwabenländer, who leads the Valley of the Sun United Way's efforts to end homelessness as vice president of community impact. This is, I guess, sort of a big philosophical question, but is it possible to actually end homelessness? Do we start with chronic homelessness? Are there always going to be some people who, for whatever reason, are homeless?
Yes. So, yeah, ending homelessness is a vision. There's a we've done a lot of focused effort over the last 6 years for the chronically homeless population and permanent supportive housing. And over 1,200 units have been created in 6 years for that population. Clearly not enough because we still have some 1,000 people at the Human Services campus every night. And that's just single adults. That doesn't include families, youth on their own. At the same time, there's a national conversation and around this idea of getting to functional zero, meaning, yes, we probably will not be able to prevent everyone's housing crisis all the time. So how do we have a safety net, enough emergency shelter that allows people to access that for safety overnight, and then the right sizing of housing interventions to address each person's individual situation? And that's the other thing. In working together, we've all looked at data differently. We've all supported a common assessment tool that now generates a starting point of a score to help have that conversation about, can we help people with a one-time sort of diversion, general assistance to move people off the Human Services campus? Maybe they don't even need to be in shelter at all. They have resources. They need one simple thing. Then rapid rehousing is a shorter-term intervention, and again, permanent supportive housing is the chronic. So that's where all of us working together have started to have that conversation about what's the ongoing need to have the right housing interventions for everyone when they, you know, begin their experience with homelessness or as we find them through that assessment tool.
And Bruce, jump in on that, would you?
Well, I mean, I think this is the most exciting part of the work we're doing is government entities working with the private sector on this. You know, for decades, faith-based groups and nonprofits were helping the homeless. Government began to get involved, put money in, and as we stepped back, we were growing these silos. Now we're taking a serious systemic look at all the pieces from the initial point of contact to assessment to understanding the needs, kind of assessing what the inventory of solutions is, what's the gap. We're making great progress, and it's exciting to be a part of.
Now, what about specialty programs? And I when I think about vets, think about how many homeless kids there are. In some cases, maybe they don't have the parental support there as well. Mm-hmm. Are specialty programs sensible? Is it important to focus? Can that be more effective? Is that more effective if we're thinking about, or is there a larger umbrella when it comes down to this? I mean, I guess multiple philosophies can work, but what do you guys think about that?
Well, I think the specialty programs have an absolute spot. There's certainly veterans group rallies, certain levels of support. Youth have certain challenges, need more intensive intervention and more support. Single adults may just need housing quick, and then let's bring the resources to treat their issues. So I think those are the right ways to do things.
And are things flexible enough to make sure that happens, Amy, at this point?
Locally, I think we're flexible enough. I think part of what drives that, too, is what level of mainstream resources exist. And HUD and the VA came together several years ago to create a VASH voucher, which is only for veterans. So it allowed a planning process to occur here that said, okay, who are all the veterans? Who really needs this voucher that's going to be really like permanent supportive housing? How many veterans? How do we assess those folks for that voucher? So I think it's also helped inform that gap conversation for us to say, okay, sometimes a resource is tied to a subpopulation that we don't control locally, but how do we use all that information together for the big picture?
And being in the government role, we get approached by each group. Are we doing enough for that group? And when I mentioned the other agencies, I should be specific about the Department of Housing, the State Department of Economic Security, the City of Phoenix, working with Maricopa County United Way to really make it happen.
Guys, we've got about a minute or two, and I hate to be cynical, but I feel like it's important to ask a skeptical question because we know the public, and I count myself as a member of the public, of course, can be impatient about certain things. And they'll hear about great progress being made, hopefully a 75% reduction by 2020, for example. But is this something that people have to stay on top of so that the public knows that this problem is not going to go away, that maybe you need public assistance, maybe you need public help, whether it's philosophically or community and whatnot, in order to keep people engaged?
Well, it's hard to feel positive if you're seeing it increase in your neighborhood.
Right.
And that's people's experiences day to day. But those who are involved at the policy level who are tracking this are certainly seeing the progress. But there's been an increase in the number of people who are unsheltered and homeless, and people are seeing that, and they want more done.
Amy?
Yes, and again, we've been meeting every week, every Monday, the four of us as funders.
Well, you guys are so entrenched.
Because yeah. It's not a thing you can talk about once a month and say, have we made progress? It's really highlighting the efforts and having that diligence and discipline to stay on top of it. And yeah, the public can get involved by volunteering. There's multiple opportunities to volunteer on the Human Services campus, at shelters. What we're saying, too, is there's more need than the resources we have today. Financial resources will help us to accelerate progress also.
Well, I'm glad we had a chance to talk about this today. Amy Schwabenländer leads the Valley of the Sun United Way's efforts to end homelessness. In the Valley is Vice President of Community Impact. And Bruce Liggett is Director of the Maricopa County Human Services Department. Thanks to you both for coming in.
Thank you.